Ladies and gentlemen, friends and open-minded people, wherever you live across the United States of America, Europe, and the world, this is David Duke, and this is Human Rights Radio. It's great to be with you folks, but it's a sad occasion today. Because whatever we imagined Donald Trump might do to make America great again and to restore America to a better position, honorable position, an honest position, a position for the American people. He's destroying it right now. The news is, yesterday, he literally made a declaration of war. In fact, Donald Trump not only declared war on Iran, but he upped the ante of a war in Iran to what America was very reluctant to do, but they did it anyway in the Second World War, was demand unconditional surrender. There were a lot of people in the American military and the American government who were opposed to that position, because they knew it would cost more lives in the battlefield. Of course, it cost more, a lot more Germans, too, that they wouldn't sit down and try to end the conflict as quick as possible, reasonably as possible, which would have saved a lot of American lives, a lot of Russian lives, a lot of other lives across Europe in this hostility. But that was pursued. I can tell you why it was pursued, why the unconditional surrender was pursued. It was because of the Jews. When I say the Jews, I use that term exactly like the New Testament does when they talk in John, for instance, the Jews, and the statement, the Jews, in terms of what Christ spoke against them, is very often used. And the Jews simply means the Jewish establishment, the Jewish elite, the Jewish power structure, which even organizations and most important newspaper in the United States of America, maybe in the world, the New York Times, and their top columnist said, quote, that Jews have taken over America, that the Jewish elite has literally taken over America. That's his language. That's the language he said that the person, the Jewish woman who heard one of his lectures talk about, the Jewish takeover of America. And that Jewish takeover of America existed. That's why we got in the Second World War. As a young man, I was really kind of shocked. My father actually gave me a book. My father was very open-minded. And he gave me a book called The Final Secret of Pearl Harbor. And it was written by the commanders of the American military in Hawaii. And they revealed the data right out of the archives of the United States of America that America and the Roosevelt administration had broken the Japanese code. And the insiders in the American government knew that the attack was coming on Pearl Harbor. And then they intentionally did not inform the commanders. Now, why would in the world would they not inform the commanders? They wouldn't inform the commanders because they wanted it to be catastrophic. They didn't want something minor that might have been avoided. They wanted something really horrible. And ultimately, they got 3,000 American dead because of it. That was because our troops, our leaders in Hawaii were not briefed, which we knew the information was. We broke the Japanese code, the secret code, and we knew they were coming. But we did not inform our commanders in Hawaii, so as many American dead would occur as to make absolute total demand for the war. Maybe they didn't expect that many lives, but they knew it was going to cost lives. The idea of not informing American troops that an attack was coming is insane. It's traitorous against every American soldier who serves thinking his country's backing him up. The Second World War was a betrayal of America. Most Americans didn't want to get in the war. That's why they had to use what's called the back door of war. And I want to say something before we go one step further about Donald Trump today, and that's to make sure that people understand that the greatest disaster in the entirety of the history of Europe and the history of the entire world was the Second World War. And this was a war, as Patrick Buchanan wrote very well, The Unnecessary War, a title of that name. This was a war that could have been avoided. And that would have saved anywhere from 60 to 80 million lives. That, friends, a war that could have been avoided, but was fought, killing up to 80 million lives, that's a genocide. In fact, that's the worst genocide, the worst mass murder in the history of the world, and it's innocent people on all sides. It could have been avoided. And the alleged crimes of the Germans were not crimes, unless you think that saying that the Germans shouldn't be held hostage by a different country for 25 years after the First World War, and they shouldn't have a right to self-determination, a democratic government in the city of Danzig, and the Polish corridor, and it's amazing. And the fact is that the Soviets were coming in and came into Poland from obviously the east, but there was no war declared on the Soviet Union. No. No war declared on the Soviets, who already killed 20, 30 million people, which is a hell of a lot more than the Holocaust. That's the Jewish Holocaust we don't want to talk about. The real Holocaust deniers are the Jewish Holocaust deniers who deny their Holocausts against the Christians of Russia, the Holocaust of communism, which was a Jewish movement around the world, the Holocaust of the Holodomor in Ukraine, where the purposeful starvation of 7 to 10 million Ukrainians happened. And we've been having Holocausts ever since. We've had a Holocaust in Gaza. We've had hundreds of thousands of people killed. I think there's hundreds of thousands of children died or maimed in Gaza right now, still suffering. Amputations, blindness, burns, just horrific injuries. Still suffering. We have had basically a Holocaust for the Ukrainian people and the Russian people in a war that was sponsored by the same Jewish minority. And who says this? It's not just David Duke. It's also Jeffrey Sachs. He wrote a really classic article. The same people that gave us the Iraq War, pointing out the Iraq War was a war created by Jews who took over our State Department, took over our government, did a coup against a democratic state, overthrew the legally elected government, and then started a war back in 2014 of mass shelling and the biggest army that was created in Europe by NATO, illegally, really, in Ukraine, that killed 14,000 Eastern Ukrainians. And yet they still tell you every day that the Russians started this war. 14,000 civilians died, almost all in the east part of Russia. People of Russian descent. And the truth is, most of the Ukrainians, east or west, all share Slavic descent, Russian descent. And the Cossack heritage. A Cossack heritage, by the way, that Jews hate. They didn't care if they sacrificed the people of Ukraine. And I hate to say it, but Donald Trump has betrayed us. Donald Trump has betrayed America in every way. He has literally declared war on Iran, and we're getting into it. Now, maybe he can put the brakes on, I don't know. But he demanded unconditional surrender of Iran unconditional surrender. So he basically told Iran, here's the situation. Your country is going to unconditionally surrender its country and let the Jews who control America, are going to now be able to control Iran, their worst enemy, and destroy that country, destroy its government, change the government of the country, which is certainly supported by the people of that country, with unconditional surrender. That's not going to make peace. That's not going to encourage the Iranians to make peace. That's provoking this horrific war. And again, it's Israel that's guilty of nuclear crimes. The United Nations, actually, and the Atomic Energy Commission has done inspections of Iran from the beginning, as Tulsi Gabbard just recently showed. We do a national testament, of the 17 or 18 largest intelligence agencies in the United States of America every few months. And for the last number of years, the United States top and American intelligence estimate was that Iran is not developing. And the latest thing showed, too, they're not developing a nuclear weapon. It's all a lie. But I understand Tulsi was banned from the meeting that they had. Actually, at Camp David, apparently. And Trump. Now, it's not Iran who's going to surrender to Jewish tyranny and Jewish war and Jewish murder. It's Donald Trump who has surrendered to Jewish power. He's not in any way standing up for what he promised. America first. They put up signs at some of his rallies. Israel first. You can't make it up. But the thing is, you look at this, what's going on here, and Trump has surrendered his presidency, your government, your country, to Jews. He supported their actions against free speech. He supports legislation in the Congress to stop any so-called anti-Semitism. You know what anti-Semitism is? Anti-Semitism is defined clearly by these Jewish organizations. It was defined clearly in the legislation before the Congress. Anti-Semitism is criticizing Israel, which is supposed to be an American right of free speech that is constitutionally one of the most important. It's the first of the Bill of Rights of the American Constitution. To criticize Israel's genocide, that is anti-Semitism today. That's illegal. As some Christian preachers have pointed out, they've actually made the New Testament illegal. Shmuley Boteach, who has the conflict always with Candace Owen, says that the New Testament is anti-Semitic. 450 anti-Jewish passages. They basically outlawed the New Testament of Christianity. That's how bad it is, folks. And they outlawed anyone who dares to tell the truth about the genocide in Gaza and the genocide going on in Ukraine and the genocide that's been going on in Europe since 1914 in the run-up of the First World War and then the Second World War, where Jews demanded the extermination of all the German people. That's in a book called Germany Must Perish, and it was reviewed by the New York Times and the Washington Post, the two most influential papers in America. One, the Washington Post, absolutely is something read more by Congress than any other publication. The New York Times was the most read newspaper in America. And they called this book calling for the extermination of the entire German people. This is before America got in this war. And they said they called for the complete extermination of the German people. Great idea. Ideas Time has come. Permanent peace. That's like, I guess, what we're doing right now. We're attacking, you know, and it is part of us. So we are definitely supporting this war effort. I tell you something. I'm going to play a little interview for you in a second. And Dr. Slattery.
Does Mossad share all of his intelligence with us?
Let me
probably not, but they share a lot.
Let me see if I can
stop. We don't share all of our intelligence with
naturally,
them, but they
I
share
can't
a lot.
Stop it when I need to. Pardon me for that. Okay. So here's an interview that Tucker just did. The whole interview is going to be aired in a couple of days with Tucker Carlson. And he gets a lot of admissions by Ted Cruz. And by the way, Ted Cruz is the biggest slimeball traitor to America anyway. He was part of the Gang of Eight that was going to give total amnesty for all the millions upon millions of illegal aliens coming to the country. He was all set to do that. The only thing that derailed that, because Trump made that an issue, and he couldn't do that anymore. It's amazing. And now Trump has betrayed us even more so. Before I do, I'm going to bring on Dr. Slattery before I play the Tucker Carlson thing with Ted Cruz, where you really get an example of his treason to the United States of America and his vile, un-American, pro-Israel position. I want to share with you the slogan that we're using now, and I think it's time. And by the way, as you know, I didn't vote for Donald Trump. There's been a lot of praise for Dave Smith, there should be, that he's come out and said that Donald Trump, he just can't support him anymore. He's going to apologize for his vote because there's nothing more important than America going to war. That's lives of our young men. Sacrifice once more in another damn war for the Jews. And yes, when I say the Jews, I'm not being anti-Semitic. I'm talking about the reality of Jewish power globally and in the United States and the money they have behind politics. It's the Benjamins, baby. So
the Benjamin Netanyahu's, not the Benjamin Franklin's.
It's both. Benjamin Netanyahu. In fact, it's a very beautiful phrase because the Benjamins, that's the Benjamin Netanyahu's, the Jews, and the Benjamin $100 bills, but thousands of $100 bills, millions.
It's also the Shlomo's and the Yitzhak's.
That's exactly right. Anyway, so the slogan, and we can get, I think, Dr. Slattery the best credit for this. The new slogan that I'm endorsing and I'm going to be using now, I think Dr. Slattery will as well, and is as well, is...
I've already used it. It's mine, by the way.
I'll give you total credit, which I just did. And it's Manitoba. And Manitoba stands for make America not Israel's bitch anymore. Is that it, doctor? Is that
totally
right?
Totally owned bitch.
Hmm?
Make America
totally owned bitch. That's
make
right.
America. Make America not Israel's totally owned bitch anymore.
Manitoba,
baby.
That's what we replaced MAGA with. Make America not Israel's totally controlled bitch.
Totally owned.
And the reality of being a bitch is we're being raped financially, we're being raped morally, we're being raped physically, in a sense. You know, we're going to be subjecting our young men to one more war based on complete and total lies, a war for Israel, not for America. Iran poses no threat to America. Israel is the nuclear rogue state, not Iran. Iran has allowed inspections the whole time. They've followed all the rules. They signed the NPT, and countries are supposed to sign the NPT. And if they don't sign the NPT, what's said about them when they develop nuclear weapons, they're supposed to not get a single penny in American aid. That's American law. It's on the books. But no laws are applicable to Israel. No rules. No rights are applicable to Israel. And Donald Trump has just destroyed us on so many points. I'm glad that he wants to definitely try to stop some of this immigration. That's great. But let me tell you something. When he starts saying that we need censorship against our own people and we can't even criticize these Jews, let me make something straight to all of you listening, whether you're right wing or left wing. There's no question about the fact that the people and the force, the organized political power that's been behind the changing of our immigration laws and the non-enforcement properly of our immigration law from day one has been the Jewish power structure. There's just no argument about that. Jews brag and boast about it. The Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, we actually had the head of Homeland Security. He was one of their directors. He should have been impeached. They didn't even have a trial as demanded by the Constitution because of Jewish control over the American government. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, if you realize that Jews have a tyranny over America and they also can, you know, they control 85% of the search engines, Google is in partnership with Israel and the Mossad to the tune of billions upon billions of dollars, a foreign country, which is bringing us now into a war, I think a war against the interests of the American people in every respect. This is horrific. This is beyond any sort of possibility of anything less than just ultimate treason of Donald Trump. I say Donald Trump should be impeached, even though I'm not quite sure that Vance is going to be any better. But I can tell you one thing. I am no longer going to in any way support. I'm going to support the impeachment of Donald Trump. I already didn't vote for him. I wrote him a letter. I'm going to share this letter and probably tomorrow's show when we have a little more time. I'm going to share a letter I wrote to Donald Trump when I told Donald Trump that, look, I'll give you one last chance. I'm going to endorse Jill Stein for the presidency over you. And the reason why I'm going to do it, and by the way, if you know, if I'm going to be supporting a Jew for president of the United States, it's because I would rather vote for a Jew who is opposed to these insane Jewish wars against our brothers and sisters in Russia and Ukraine, the death of those people, and the Gazan people. And when we get a chance a little bit later in the show, I want to explain to people in my awakening in my life, which I'm going to be writing about, you know, extensively soon. One of the first books I read on the Palestinian question, by the way, I grew up, I read a lot, and I was becoming quite liberal. And I felt like I was very pro-Israel. I saw the movie Exodus. I didn't know then that Exodus was written by a Jewish communist named Trumbo, Dalton Trumbo. I didn't know that this screenwriter for this was an open communist. I didn't realize that, just like so many Jews in Israel were, in fact, Marxists. Just like Bernie Sanders went to a Marxist kibbutz, a Stalinist kibbutz, actually. And one of the interesting things about this movie is, so I did some AI research, and I asked about, you know, this screenplay. And I said, and I remember the movie, and the movie had Paul Newman as the hero Jew in it. And Paul Newman looked like the whitest guy you ever saw. He looked like he came right out of Norway or Northern Germany, right? Bluest eyes you ever saw, blonde hair, you know, very chiseled European features. But he was Jewish, right? But everybody's going to identify him because of his looks. And his girlfriend in the movie, The Love Affair, was with Eva Marie Saint, very, very beautiful Northern European blonde woman. And so I asked AI, I said, well, how is this being? This is against every principle of Zionism. And I said, doesn't the Jewish faith and doesn't Jewish Israel, don't the Zionists restrict marriage between Jews and Gentiles? How in the world can the hero of the movie, a Jew, be marrying a Gentile unless they're trying to influence Jew and Gentile attitudes about Jews? They didn't want to portray them having a possible affair and the Jewish state stood against them because they don't allow intermarriage with those evil, vile Gentiles. They wouldn't do that. This is how they manipulate. And even AI was admitting that, well, this is because this could make this would make the movie more palatable and more friendly and have more influence on telling people that Israel was a great state. And of course, they don't even talk about what they were doing to Palestinian people. Well, I read a book by a fellow by the name of Zat, and he actually was very interesting. He was a Palestinian, and he wrote a book on what he called, you know, the dark side of Jewish history and the Palestinian, he didn't call it Nakba, he said catastrophe, which is the English translation of the word Nakba. And interestingly enough, I read this book when I was only about 12, I think I was 12 years old. And at that point in my life, it was before I got awakened on the ideas of, you know, saving the European people and saving our history and our heritage and our traditions and preserving our country, which is now normal, natural for any people. And I was becoming a little liberal because I was reading so much. I was an avid reader. I read every day of my life, hours and hours. And I read this liberal stuff and I was beginning to almost feel guilty for being white. But when I was, again, at the age of 12, I read this book called The Palestinian Catastrophe, you know, The Dark Side of Jewish History. And that started a journey for me where I realized that Judaism and Jewish Zionism and the State of Israel was an evil thing. And in fact, they pointed out in that book, in fact, because they knew all about the movie Exodus, that these were lies, and they didn't mention the horrors that were being perpetrated against the Palestinian people. I remember that movie so clearly, Exodus. You know, I used to hum this movie. I loved the actual musical standards of the song were just beautiful. Da 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 da, you know, and it was, you know, God gave this land to me, you know, and if I fight and die, whatever, but there was no mention about the vast crime that was going on against Palestinian people that never did a damn thing against the Jews, but they're gonna made to pay the price. Anyway, Dr. Slattery, sorry to go so long with my opening comments, but thank you very, very much for that brilliant turn of phrase, Manitoba. Give us that Manitoba, slogan baby. Again.
Manitoba, make America not, excuse me, make America not Israel's totally owned bitch anymore.
Beautiful.
So, yeah, Manitoba, not MAGA.
Isn't that beautiful, folks? We're on the road folks. To
Winnipeg. Yeah, so, we're on the road to Winnipeg.
So let's talk about, first of all, what Trump did yesterday. It was basically a declaration of war. And the idea that this country, this Iran, a sovereign nation, a different nation, Jews have no right to rule over this nation, just like they have no right to rule over our nation. They're a tiny minority. They control us through their oligarchical power structure and money. They're the biggest contributors. There are 18 of the 20 biggest contributors to Hillary Clinton. They were 9 out of 10 of the biggest contributors. I mean, you can't make it up to Joe Biden. They were 9 out of 10 of the biggest contributors of none other than that great, brilliant California senator who was going to be president of the United States if the Jews had their way. I mean, and they've...
Who's that?
Oh, who do you think it is?
Senator from California?
Well, I'm talking about the Democratic nominee for president.
Chlamydia Harris.
Yeah.
Okay.
Chlamydia. I just don't usually use right, that right. name in yeah, connection
to. She was senator from California for a while. That's right.
And of course there was no there was so much Russian disinformation. Like, yeah, we actually banned whole newspapers like the New York Post because they dared to say that the Hunter Biden laptop was real and there was corruption all over the place there. And it was real. It wasn't Russian disinformation while they swore to us that it was. And just that one factor, even blocking those websites. In fact, I lost, some of my social media at the time because, that I was, and this is even before then, but I was blocked when I endorsed Trump. In fact, as we talked about before, that in the first race, that Forbes magazine, even they listed it in the order of importance. And the first thing that they said that helped Trump get the nomination was my endorsement. I guess I can apologize for that endorsement now, like Dave Smith's now. But I knew enough by this race that I could not vote for Donald Trump for president of the United States because there is literally no more issue for the survival of the American people and the survival of Europe and the survival of the world than deposing these Jewish supremacist warmongers who are leading this world to tyranny, control, and hell. War and hell. Your thoughts, sir?
Yeah, I wake up every morning and wonder where we're going and what we're doing in this handbasket. My thought is that, Donald Trump should be impeached. And if the Constitution allows for impeachment in the case of treason, bribery, and high crimes and misdemeanors.
We got all those things going on for sure.
Yeah, and I think, and the thing is, the impeachment is actually very doable because there's... It would require all of the Democrats and four Republicans in the House of Representatives to vote in favor of impeachment. And I think that's certainly a possibility. The there's a lot of things that you could impeach him on.
Let's talk about the first thing, the betrayal of America to a foreign country.
I want to talk about the second one, which is bribery, because I think that would be really, really funny. And it would be kind of a slam dunk because you have Donald Trump speaking in front of cameras, speaking in front of audiences, talking about how much money he'd gotten from Miriam and Sheldon Adelson. And
to betray America, too. To betray America.
The night at the White House, talking about how he gave them everything he wanted. He'd even give them things they didn't want, and yet they always wanted more. And he's talking about that. Well,
he's admitting the fact that he gave over this office of presidency to these Jews.
Yeah.
The Jewish donors.
So any congressman, any member of the House of Representatives can introduce a motion of impeachment. There's a couple of ways you can do it. One is just to put it in the put it in the docket. But you can also offer it as a privileged motion, in which case it has to be acted on in 2 days. And there's a variety of ways it could be handled. There could be a vote, an immediate vote of the full House, or you could have it referred to a committee. The committee would be the Judiciary Committee, which is headed by Jim Jordan. And some people have positive feelings about Jim Jordan, but Jim Jordan has already come out and said he supports Israel. And then that's the ranking,
litmus test, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a litmus test. And then the ranking Democrat on the committee is none other than Jamie Raskin.
Oh, who is that's rapidly, a nice Jew.
I mean, the very first thing he ever did as a congressman was object to Trump's electoral votes on the basis that they were of Russian interference in the election. He was also one of the impeachment managers in the Senate trial of Donald Trump's second impeachment. I believe it was his second impeachment. Maybe it was the first impeachment, but. So I don't know how things would go in that committee, but It's a process that should be started. It would attract a lot of attention, and it very easily. We've had just in the past, in Trump's first term, we had two impeachments. Bill Clinton was impeached. None of them came close to being ridden out of office in the Senate. But of course, in our lifetimes, we had the experience of Richard Nixon in 1974, who decided to resign because he did the math and knew that he was going to be not just impeached, but he would be convicted by the Senate. And right now, we're at the very beginning of this debacle. But as it unfolds, Trump's popularity could plummet. And I'm not really a vengeful person, and I've got all sorts of mixed feelings about Donald Trump. But even the most sympathetic of my feelings towards Donald Trump say that this is somebody who's in way over his head, that he's not up to the task, that he reminds me of a child having a temper tantrum. And sometimes you just got to get a hold of that child and remove them from the situation, because he's doing a lot of harm to others. He's doing harm to himself. He's doing harm to civilization. And he just needs to be removed from the situation, put out to pasture. He's past his expiration date. J.D. Vance, would J.D. Vance be any better?
I don't know.
You never know these things. Chlamydia might have been better than Donald Trump. We'll never know.
In some ways, no. I think in immigration, she'd been worse.
Who knows? Who knows how
However,
she would have turned out?
Obama was actually trying to do some things on immigration.
So. Obama on Democracy Now, they referred to Obama as the deporter in chief. So they did. So I'm supporting the impeachment of Donald Trump. I think motions should be introduced as promptly as possible. And people should get on board with this, whether you've got some sympathy for him, as I still do. But he's absolutely out of control. And absolutely just needs to be removed from the job because he's making a mess of it, and it's too serious.
I have to give an accolade to my co-host, Dr. Patrick Slattery, folks, because not only is this a brilliant way to approach it, because, all right, the bribery is very opposite, our very opposite of America First. And bribery itself is easily proven. He solicited it. He bragged about it. He said he'd do whatever they want, just bring me more money. I mean, that's prima facie evidence right there. But the interesting thing is, if he's taking bribery from, in effect, another country and putting another country's interest, including putting our soldiers at risk of going to war or other different areas which damage the interests of the United States of America, that's obviously treasonous. That's obviously a crime against America. That's treachery and crime, high crimes against the United States. So the bribery is easy to prove. But when you think about this bribery as in connection to a foreign state, and by the way, all these people, they always talk about things, but they never even talk about the most important things. That Israel is a nuclear rogue state. That Israel is a state that's in violation of international law. They violated dozens and dozens and dozens of Security Council resolutions, including those signed and supported by the United States, but Israel's never faced any sanctions by America or those Western powers that voted for resolutions condemning Israel's illegal settlements, which they allowed to continue on. So now they say they can't do anything about it, right? Or these people tell us that we have to have this and this massive crime, dislocation, ethnic cleansing, genocide of the Palestinian people. And my God, and I do believe there's at least 200,000 children who've already died in this thing, along with so many women, their mothers, and others. So let me play a couple things for you. First, I want to play Tucker Carlson. This is a clip. You can get the full interview, I think, sometime today. But let's play this. And Tucker Carlson, just from this clip and the interview he did with Ted Cruz, he just destroyed Ted Cruz's political career, in my opinion. Wait till you hear this one, folks.
Does Mossad share all of its intelligence with us?
Oh, probably not, but they share a lot. We don't share all of our intelligence with them, but we share a lot. It's a close alliance.
Do they spy domestically in the United States?
Oh, they probably do, and we do as well. And friends and allies spy on each other, and I assume I assume all of our allies spy on us.
That's okay with you?
You know what? One of the things about being a conservative is that you're not naive and utopian. You don't think humans are all... Part of the reason socialism doesn't work is the mantra from each according to his abilities to each according to his needs doesn't work. As a conservative, I assume people act in their rational self-interest.
So it's conservative to pay people to spy on you?
It's conservative to recognize that human beings act in their own self-interest, and every one of our friends spies on us. And I'm not...
Do you like it? That's my question. I'm not asking whether they have motive to do it. Of course they do. I understand that. And
by the way,
I'm not mad at them. And you're an American lawmaker, so I just want to know... Hold on. I want to know your attitude. Yeah. You said that your guiding principle, in fact, the only principle, the only criterion...
I said guiding, the overwhelming, I wouldn't say only.
Is it in America's interest? Is it in America's interest for Israel to spy on us, including on the president?
It is in America's interest to be closely allied with Israel because we get huge benefits for it. And you want to see the clear...
But I just want to stop on the spying for a second. That it takes place, as you know, and including on the president of the United States and several presidents, and... I just want to know if that's okay and why is it okay? Wouldn't an American lawmaker say to a client state, you're not allowed to spy on us? I'm sorry. I know why you want to. I'm not mad at you, but you're not allowed to.
Sure.
And I don't care for it. I don't want to be spied on by you. Is that... It's kind of weird not to say that, but you don't seem able to say that.
Wow. Pretty good, huh? What do you think about that, Patrick? I mean, that should put the double hex on Ted Cruz's career. What he just stated
I assume you're going to play later on when Tucker was challenging Cruz on basic facts about Iran and exposing the reality that Ted Cruz really knows nothing about.
I don't
Iran,
have
know
yet, because we don't have the whole interview until today's.
Okay, well, I saw that last night. I saw a different clip, and Tucker just said, well, what's the population of Iran? Cruz had no idea.
I've got that.
He had no idea. Tucker informed him, and Cruz was like, well, whether it's 90 million or 100 million or 80 million, that doesn't really matter. And then Tucker just says, and what's the ethnic composition of Iran? And,
I think I have that. Cruz, Let me play a second. See if I got it. Okay.
And then Tucker went off on him.
Does Mossad share all of his intelligence with us?
Oh, probably not, but they share...
No, that's not it.
We don't share all of our intelligence with them, but we...
Whatever, I can't... Maybe it's at the bottom here. Let me see if it's...
We share a lot. It's a close alliance.
Do they...
No, it's not it.
Spy domestically in the United States?
Oh, they probably do, and we do as well. And friends and allies spy on each other, I assume all of our allies spy on us.
But I can get something else here that I know of, which is interesting.
That human beings act in their own self-interest.
I can stop it.
Well, at any rate,
we need to make this one go viral. This is the moment to school. I'm shocked.
Who's the best?
Want to get in shape?
No King's April.
I'm trying to get to the Donald Trump debate thing.
Make no mistake about it. We are at war with Iran right now. The United States of America is for Donald Trump.
Go ahead.
So, Tucker then says, what's the ethnic makeup of Iran? And Cruz says, well, they're Persians. And of course, the thing is, the Persians are the majority group, but it's only 60% Persian. You got all these ethnic minorities. You got a large, very large Azeri minority, which is Turkic. And Tucker just went after Cruz and said, look, you don't know even the most basic facts about Iran, and yet you're proposing to go to war with Iran. And he ripped into Cruz. And
I had that up, but I couldn't get it now. But go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead.
So, examine these people really.
Let's listen to it while we have it up. Here, let me see if I can get this up. Just a second.
You don't know the population of the country you seek to topple? How many people live in Iran? 92 million. Okay. Yeah. How could you not know that?
I don't sit around memorizing population tables.
Well, it's kind of relevant because you're calling for the overthrow of the government.
Why is it relevant whether it's, well, because it's 90 million or 80 million or 100 million? Why, well,
because
is that
if
relevant?
You don't know anything about the country.
I didn't say I don't know anything about
the country. Okay, what's the ethnic mix of Iran?
They are Persians and predominantly Shia. Okay,
you don't know anything about Iran. So,
okay,
I am not the
Tucker Carlson expert on Iran.
You're a senator who's calling for the overthrow of the government.
You're the one who
claims anything about the country.
No, you don't know anything about the country. You're the one who claims they're not trying to murder Donald Trump.
I'm not saying that.
Who can't figure out if it was a good idea to kill General Soleimani, and you said it was bad.
You don't believe they're trying to murder Trump.
Yes, I do.
Because you're not calling for military strikes against them in retaliation.
You didn't.
If you really believe that.
We're carrying out military strikes today.
You said Israel was.
Right, with our help. I said we. Israel is leading them, but we're supporting them.
Well, this, you're breaking news here, because the U.S. government last night denied, the National Security Council spokesman Alex Pfeiffer denied on behalf of Trump that we were acting on Israel's behalf in any offensive capacity.
No, we're not bombing them. Israel's bombing them.
You just said we were.
We are supporting Israel.
This is high stakes. You're a senator. If you're saying the United States government is...
No, we're
with Iran right now. People are listening.
Those are families.
How many people live in Iran, by the way?
I don't know the population. I don't...
Anyway.
Those are families. Don't
I'm trying to get this down. Okay, go ahead, doctor. Doctor.
Well, I mean, even... Yeah. Donald Trump himself knows nothing about, you know, Donald Trump spent 70 years in two careers, one career as a real estate magnate and the other career as a media personality, you know, with a number one show. So, OK, maybe he knows the entertainment media and he knows real estate. He has zero background in foreign policy. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that in terms of foreign policy, in terms of world affairs, in terms of geography, all sorts of relevant fields of knowledge, he probably knows significantly less than most of the people in our audience. He's extremely ignorant, which isn't that uncommon for American politicians. But, you know, he was elected because he's got a certain kind of charisma.
He's the reason why Trump caught fire and got elected the first time. Let me replay it from the debate, okay? You mind?
Okay.
Before we go too far afield. Okay, if I can. Here we go.
Obviously, the war in Iraq was a big, fat mistake, all right? Now, you can take it any way you want, and it took Jeb Bush, if you remember, at the beginning of his announcement, when he announced for president, took him 5 days. He went back. It was a mistake. It wasn't a mistake. Took him 5 days before his people told him what to say. And he ultimately said it was a mistake. The war in Iraq, we spent $2 trillion, thousands of lives. We don't even have it. Iran is taking over Iraq with the second largest oil reserves in the world. Obviously, it was a mistake.
So
George Bush made a mistake. We can make mistakes, but that one was a beauty. We should have never been in Iraq. We have destabilized the Middle East.
But so you still think he should be impeached?
I think it's my turn, isn't it?
You do whatever you want. You call it whatever you want. I want to tell you, they lied.
Okay.
They said there were weapons of mass destruction. There were none, and they knew there were none. There were no weapons of mass destruction.
Okay, all right. Go.
But what happened with Iran?
Okay. That's good. Go ahead, doctor.
He was elected. He was elected because he was saying things like that. He was saying very common sense things that other people were not prepared to say about immigration.
Yeah.
But you know, at this point, he's floundering. He's completely lost his way, and you know, I don't blame people who are 100% disgusted with him and even hate him and want to remove him from office and make his life miserable. I don't blame people for that. If somebody has a certain amount of sympathy for him, you want to take him out of this situation because he's making a mess of it. It's a very dangerous mess. Last thing I'm going to say is, the one thing that really inspires hope in me more than anything else, more than the awakening that's starting belatedly in the United States, is the fact that that China and Russia are coming to dominate the international political system, and they may well. We don't know exactly what Putin is telling Trump in these phone calls, but this may well be what reigns in Donald Trump, because nothing domestically at this point looks like it's going to rein in Donald Trump. But we'll see. We'll see how this goes. I don't know, but I've got the issue here.
It's not just a question of Donald Trump making a saber rattling and say, you know, you've got to surrender now. You've got to unconditionally surrender your country to these Jews and to the Jews that control America. Trump and the establishment of this country has already surrendered to Jews. It was Jews who decided to change the demographics of America and who succeeded to it. They lost out in 1924 with the Immigration Reform Act. And ever since then, they organized, they controlled the media, they basically lied to us every day in the media, movies, propaganda, television programming and everything, making so many Americans hate themselves, hate their own culture, and having the idea that somehow it's evil racism, simply for people to actually simply want to preserve themselves. And like I was saying earlier, what I learned as a very young man was I got very enamored. I read the issue. I was kind of getting a little liberal anyway, but I read about the Palestinians and what they were suffering, and I was sympathetic to them. And the interesting thing was, a couple of years later, I became awakened on this racial attack that Jews were making upon Europe. They hated Gentiles of Europe. That even the name Gentiles comes from the word gens, the Romans. They hated us, and I began to realize as a very young man that not only were they doing this to Palestinians, they were doing the same thing to Europeans. They were dedicated to displacing us in our own homeland. They just didn't have as many Jews to do it as they had in Palestine. Anyway, that's it, folks. Go to davidduke.com, support our efforts. Go to my website at davidduke.com. Also, my Gab at Real David Duke and my Odyssey at Real David Duke. I love you, and I'll be back again with you tomorrow. Bye-bye.